Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight to start with. I have been talking about the last couple sermons that I have been privileged to preach here at Rhema Bible Church. The culture of faith. The culture of faith. And we've talked about some things about being in Him and then also learning the language of faith. One of the greatest ways to immerse ourselves, let's say it that way, to immerse ourselves into a culture is to learn the language. How many of you have traveled internationally? You see the result of learning to speak a few words of the local language. You know, now I'm dangerous enough. I know enough in some languages to be dangerous. You know what I'm saying? I have to watch myself that I don't say something, you know. And if you hang around some of our missionary friends, our graduates, they have got some very funny stories to tell about their snafus language-wise, all right? So, all right, I wasn't going to do it, but I'll tell mine, all right? You ready for mine? I was in Colombia. This was 2002. I'm at the mall at the food court there. You know, in Colombia at the mall, you can get a good steak in the food court. Amen. I mean, a good steak. And so they'd taken me there, and they'd gone in. But I had seen this restaurant over here that was more of a fast food type, and they actually had ice with their drinks. Well, I've been there. Well, I hadn't had any ice for a while. So I'm going to go over there, all right, and I'm going to get a Diet Coke with ice, okay, a large one, lots of ice. And so I'm up there, and I know I'm going to order a Coca-Cola Light Grande. You know, the Spanish invented that. That wasn't something that Starbucks invented. That's a Spanish word, grande, large, right? I'm all set. I'm up there. Lady comes up to me. She says something in Spanish. I have no idea what she said. I'm just waiting for her to be quiet so I can say Coca-Cola Light Grande. So she says what she does, smiles. I said, Coca-Cola Light, and my mind went blank. I could remember how to say very much in Swahili. A big, you know, I was like a Coca-Cola Light sana. That means lots. Coca. I mean, I could say it. I could think. My mind went totally blank. So you know what you do when you're an American in a foreign country? You say an English word and add an O to it, and I did it. I said large-o. I'm not lying to you. That girl was smiling till I said that. Her face just went, I got my Coca-Cola Light, large-o. But I hadn't immersed very well into the culture, you see. Well, we need to learn the language. Tonight, I want to talk about another aspect of this culture of faith, in that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, we'll start with that tonight. From the King James says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And we've talked about in these lessons, and we know from studying who we are in Christ, that when we see something like this, let me read this to you from the Amplified Bible because it'll help here at the end. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, His sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you? Now listen to this. To be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually. Every child of God has the Spirit of God on the inside of them. Now, we don't have time tonight, but you need to go back to the book of John and see there's a dual work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. In the new birth, amen, a well of life springing up into everlasting life. But then also there talks about a river of living water flowing out. Now, you think about it. That well of life, that's for my benefit. That river of living water is flowing out. That's for others. That's what empowers me to minister. Jesus said, don't even think about going into ministry until you are endued with power from on high. He said, I said, go ye, but wait a minute. Don't go until. All right? But he said here, we are the Spirit of God. So in reading this, You know, I've got to, again, we need to take the Bible and understand that he's talking about who we are corporately, yes, all of us together, but individually also. So as I'm reading this, I have to see where he says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I've got to stop and say, I know that I am the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in me. Now, where does he dwell? Not in my body, not in my mind, but in my spirit. That's with my spirit, man, I contact the kingdom of God and the realm of God and the spirit realm, if you will. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:23? And I pray the Lord sanctify your whole spirit, soul, and body. Sanctify you wholly, not H-O-L, but W-H-O, all of you, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? I am a spirit. Remember, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, how many of you've come in contact with your body today? You know it exists. Did any of you today, your body tell you, eat, feed me? So, right, we're familiar with that. And I'm sure you've had thoughts today, right? Had some emotions maybe today. But then our spirit is the real us, though. It's where the Holy Spirit dwells. Now, jump over to chapter 6. Alana, you'll just stand back there the whole service unless you come on down here and sit down. Alana's one of the secretaries in our office, and she and this guy are dating or something. I don't know what they're doing right here, but now Alana's dad went to school with Pastor Marvin and I. Amen. And I hope they got, did we get this? Is that recorded so everybody could see her walk down there? You're red. I don't know if that means anything or not. You're so red, you could be an usher. I mean, you are really red. I'm just concerned she might try to get me back. I don't know. I better check my office every time I go in it now, right? But I saw you back there just waiting. I don't know what you're doing. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Now, we say it's his body here. Well, why body here? Well, because that's our spirits on the inside of this body. Did you know this? If you don't have this body, you can't stay on this earth. You can't be here. There's no, so-and-so's great aunt, whoever, is not spooking you or whatever. It's not flying around and just, no. Be absent from the body, the Bible says, to be present with the Lord, whoever your Lord is. Okay, you're going to be present with him when you absent this body. But he says, you are the temple. Here again, talking about the temple. The temple of God, now think about it, is the place where God's presence dwells. Think of the temples in the Old Testament. First one that we ever had was, first one we ever had built was the tabernacle in the wilderness. And they had the temple that it was a mobile temple because they were on the move. They were going somewhere. And they had built the Ark of the Covenant, and the presence of God hovered there between. And there was times the presence of God would get out of that tent, knock them all down, right? When that presence gets loose, okay, you're not going to stand there and resist it. It's the presence of Almighty God. Well, that presence is in you. That same glory is in you. It's in us. Hallelujah. All right, he says, which you have of God, you're not your own. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. So let's read this again. Tad, know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, which I have of God, I could say, and I'm not my own. For I am bought with a price. Therefore, Tad, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, make it personal. Talk to yourself. Speak to what the Word of God has to say to you concerning who you are. Glory to God. All right, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're not going to preach very long tonight. Y'all should just groan. Whenever a preacher says that, oh, geez. I'll preach till Alana's not blushing, and then we'll go home. All right, verse 14, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believes with an infidel? So notice this as you read this. The believer here is called righteousness. The unbeliever, unrighteousness. The believer here is called light, and the unbeliever, darkness. The believer here is called to be in concord or in union with Christ, and the unbeliever with Belial, which was it's the devil. The believer here is called a believer, and then he says, the one who's not is an infidel. Verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are, I am the temple of the living God, as God has said. He said, I will dwell in them, and I walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God dwells in me and walks in me, and he is my God, and I am one of his people. I'll never forget one time somebody was talking to me about, they were from two different southern states, and got married, and they were saying that one of the things that you said, well, where are they from? Well, their people are from such and such. And because they had people in such and such, oh, that's okay, then we like you, right? Their people are from such and such. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm one of God's people. How about you? Amen. Amen. I like to be around God's people, the people of God. Now, of course, you just can't live around God's people. How would we ever win the loss if we just lived around God's people? But I love God's people. Amen. They're the most wonderful, crazy bunch of people you've ever been around in your whole life. Isn't that right? You know what you think about to the world's way of looking at things? Believing in a God you cannot see, that you've never seen. Think about it. You weren't there 2000, and a Savior who you weren't there to witness but believing he rose again, getting filled with the Spirit, praying in other tongues, fighting an unseen enemy with unseen weapons. Now, is it any wonder the world is a little confused? But once you're a believer, you understand these things, you see, because you've got the Holy Spirit to help you. Teach us and guide us, glory to God. Boy, we don't have time to get into that tonight. But we are the temple there. He's talking about we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look in Ephesians chapter 2. God is a master builder. We are individually part of he's in us, but we are also corporately the temple of God. And God is building his dwelling place, not made with hands, but made with you and I, the lives of people. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's begin in verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Thank God I'm not a stranger anymore. I'm not a foreigner in this culture of faith. I'm not a foreigner in God's family, in God's country. I'm a citizen, hallelujah. And I belong in this house. And he says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God just didn't save us. God, what he did through Christ is made us a living place for him. And listen, you're not God's summer home or vacation home. You're God's full-time dwelling place. It's a habitation. God's not renting you out like you rent a condo out. He's wants to come live in you by the Holy Ghost. Amen. God, the Holy Ghost. He's building. What a master builder. Sometimes I like to go back in relationship to thinking about that and watch in the Old Testament as temples were built. You know, the tabernacle in the wilderness. And then David wanted to build a temple, but he said, God told him, no, you can't. You've been a man of war and you've done certain things. But your son will. And they built that temple. And watched as they followed God and what God did. You know, when Moses went to build that temple, God said, I'd place my spirit upon certain ones to do certain types of work. It's such a picture of what we have today. God's spirit is on each and every one of you and in each and every one of you so that you are gifted to do whatever your part is in building this temple, this habitation. Hallelujah. Now, they got to the place in the old covenant. Now, you think about this. In the old covenant, they got to this place. We haven't got there. We need to get there. They got to the place in the old covenant where they said, they asked for, you know, David had one, he said, this is what I brought of myself. Okay. During Moses' time, they brought so much, they had to stand up and say, the priest said, wait a minute, the people have brought too much. You haven't heard a preacher yet. I don't know a pastor yet that's ever stood up and said, y'all, we're going to have to slow down on this giving. You've brought too much. But that happened. They had to tell people, don't bring any more. We've got enough. Amen. You know, one thing, I think one of the closest things I've seen to that is here. We had that Isaiah project to build that youth building down there. Got that. And people wouldn't stop giving. So I said, well, okay, we'll just keep on. Let's keep on receiving. We'll just change. We'll remodel this now. Just keep on giving glory to God. Amen? Because God's building, it's like Pastor told us, he said, don't look at a building. God's, you're investing in the lives of people. See, because God's not building a building made with hands. In his building, his kingdom, he's building us. Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Now, I didn't put it on their faith. Can you find 1 Peter chapter 2 with me? Faith's up there running the scriptures today. 1 Peter chapter 2, this just came to my remembrance here. Hallelujah. We are God's building. He dwells in us. He just doesn't want to, you know, use us, like it says, a vacation home. He's in us full time by his spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to just begin in verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. See, man looked at Jesus and rejected him at the time. But it's too late. He was already chosen by God. Oh, that's good. Listen to me. Listen to me. Somebody may look at you and say, No. But if God's already looked at you and he's already chosen you, and it doesn't matter what man says no to you, God's already said yes. Hallelujah. Now, y'all not wanting to be doing stuff God doesn't want you to do. He's gifted you. He's chosen you and put you in the building where it fits, where you fit, right? We understand that part of it. But God has already chosen. So it doesn't matter if man rejects, God's already said yes. You're chosen of God and precious. Verse 5. You also, just like Christ here, as living, lively stones, see, living, alive, are built up a spiritual house. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's keep reading here. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. See, like I said, natural man rejected Jesus. But the builder said, no, that is the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Now that doesn't mean weird. Peculiar here means set apart. Any of you guys got any peculiar money in your wallet right now? In other words, it's hidden. It's set apart in there for special purposes. That's really what to mean sanctified means. It means to be set apart for divine purpose. You are a royal priesthood. Glory to God. A chosen, he said, glory to God. Hallelujah. a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Man, people would walk by that temple even in the time of Jesus and say, "Woo, look at that building. Isn't that pretty? Oh my." Solomon's temple, you know, was so that the Babylonians carried it off. You know, they carried all the vessels off of it. And it was, woo, it was so nice. But the Old Testament tells us that the glory of this latter house is greater than the glory of that former house. And we're part of this glory of this latter house, not some building made with hands, but a building of God. Hallelujah. A holy temple. And the power and presence of this temple is greater than the power of that temple. But I want us to look at two places. Matthew, if you will, chapter 21. Let's look at Jesus made a couple statements as he went into the temple there in those days. Now, this was Herod's temple. He had built it to try to appease the Jews. And Jesus had made statements like, he said, you know, I'll tear this temple down and rebuild it in 3 days. But he didn't mean talking about the temple. He's talking about his own body. And of course, that was one of the false accusations they made against him. But here in Matthew chapter 21, look at verse number 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Amen. I want you to notice here, Jesus, not only by his words, but then by the action, shows us that this temple, the temple of God, is not to be a place where things that don't belong, buying and different things of that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, are there. But it is to be a house of prayer, and therefore not only a house of prayer, but a house of power. Because notice what happened. The blind came, and the lame came to the temple, and he healed them there in that temple. Amen. Hallelujah. We are this temple. We are the temple of the Holy. We are a temple of power. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He shall quicken your mortal body. That same spirit, it's in you. Hallelujah. Now I want you to go to Mark chapter 11. Now you know Jesus goes into the temple, or into the Jerusalem, rides into the Jerusalem. It's interesting that he went in there and looked round about in the temple at all the things, and then he left and went out to Bethany. Of course, sees the fig tree the next day. They're coming back, you know. He cursed it, spoke to it. And I want us to pick up in verse 15 here. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. This is the same account as Matthew's here. And began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying, "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer?" Now notice what he says here, "But you have made it a den of thieves." Now let's talk about that last statement there. You have made it a den of thieves. Here's God's temple, where God's presence is. People were supposed to be able to come and get answers there. They brought sacrifice, they brought offerings there, but they're supposed to be able to come and have an encounter with Almighty God. Remember, in the old covenant, he didn't dwell inside of man. He dwelled in his temple made with hand. That's, you had to go to the temple. And every male was supposed to present themselves at least once a year there. All right, and come and the great things, but they were supposed to, but they had made it a den of thieves. Okay, now, who's the thief? Satan, right? The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, notice what Jesus did there. Think with me. What's Hebrews chapter 13 tell us? That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I are the temple of God. And we have an enemy, like there was an enemy of the people there. And he said, you're thieves. We know who our enemy is. It's Satan. And he's trying to make merchandise of your life. He's trying to get things into your temple that don't belong there. And I'm telling you right now, the same Savior that drove them out of that, he wants to drive all that stuff out of your life right now too.
Amen.
He wants to totally cleanse it and make you a pure temple. Hallelujah. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus wants to drive out anything that's trying to hold you back, make merchandise of you, make you powerless. It doesn't matter what it is. If you just turn it over to him, let him drive it out of your life. And don't be like these folks where they let the stuff back in and it wasn't that long that temple got destroyed, didn't it? Like you go there today, it's not there. There's another temple there. Amen. But Jesus, God wants to. My. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what you've got in your life right now. I don't know what's there that is trying to make merchandise of you, that's trying to steal from you. See, it doesn't have to be sickness, and it could be other things. It could be overwhelming grief and sorrow. Amen. You know, Pastor talked this morning about the storms of life come to everybody. And sometimes, you know, Jesus said, if your house is built on the rock, it's not going to fall. He didn't say it wasn't going to get blown up against. The winds and the waves and everything, it beats upon it. And life tries to beat on us at times. And, you know, I think the hardest thing that we have to deal with sometimes, you know, in your own life, you know what you believe and you know where you stand and you know where you are. But, you know, when you have loved ones, you have other ones and tragic things happen and that, it's hard for me when that happens to my family because I want to say, well, why could, but, you know, I'm not God. I'm not their God. But I do know this, I'm staying with the Word of God because if I'll stay with the Word of God, this house isn't going to stand. And I know this, God's well able to take care of them. But what the devil wants me to do, he wants me to grieve in a way. He wants me to have sorrow in a way that's not godly. Something that holds control over me, that makes merchandise of me, that holds me in bondage so that the power of God can't flow through my life like it's supposed to flow in the temple of God. But all you got to do right now tonight is make one decision. That's it. It's over. Tonight, it's over. Tonight it's over. My temple, it's getting cleansed tonight. It's getting cleansed tonight. Amen? And we don't do this as much, but I think we ought to get real Pentecostal tonight. If you're here tonight and you need to talk to God, you need to get down this altar right now. If you got things making merchandise of you in your life, you got things trying to hold you back, I'm challenging you right now. Don't sit there. Jump up. Get down to this altar and let God minister to you. Just come on right now. Don't wait for me. Don't wait for me. Just get down here and bend and make wherever you want an altar and let's just go. If you want to make it right where you are, that's fine. But in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, temple of the Most High God. Father, I thank you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not defined by that tragic event. You're not defined by that loss of a loved one. You're not defined by, don't let that grief and sorrow hold you back any longer. I don't know why I'm spending that much time on that, but that just seems to be a theme. Don't let it hold you back. Don't let it hold you back. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh my. Just everybody where you are, just lift your voice up to the Lord. If you can pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. Oh, in the name. Hallelujah. 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 Let there be healing. Let there be healing right now. The healing power of God. Healing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Healing and restoration in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for your healing power. Thank you, Father. Emotions, the healing in the emotions even, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, take authority. Take authority over everything. Just, yes, in the name of Jesus. Be free in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. We sang about it. We sang about it. We're free. Hallelujah. No longer, hallelujah, bound to that fear. We're no longer in fear. Glory to God. I'm not afraid of that. I won't let the devil merchandise me and sell me and hold me in bondage and have a price over my head. No, in Jesus' name. No, in Jesus' name. No, in Jesus' name. But I don't understand. I was believing God and that happened. Well, thank God you were believing God. Keep on believing. Go on believing. Go on believing. Go on believing. Well, they died. Not if they're a Christian. They're more alive now than they ever were before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Eternity is real. Heaven is real. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give you glory. Give you glory. Give you glory. Give you glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm thinking about being cleansed. I just think of what are you in, Darren? You in C, D? Where are you guys? D's good. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you for the blood of Jesus. It washed me. It washed me white as snow. Sing, there's healing in the blood. Thank you for the blood. Oh, thank you. For Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you just need to take a deep breath right now and breathe in that freedom. A fresh breath of freedom. And exhale. Exhale. All that would hold you back, just let it out. There's freedom. Hallelujah. Healing in that blood. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt Thee. We exalt Thee. We exalt. From you sing, Lord, I exalt you.
I exalt you.
I exalt thee, Lord.
I exalt thee.
Hallelujah. just hear the voices. Jesus is Lord. Make a declaration. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the mighty, precious Holy Spirit and for Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our healer, our baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us, guiding us in your word. You are the great teacher. And we are your temple, corporately and individually. Just ask that you'd rise and live big within us. Jesus, thank you for cleansing us so that that power of God may go unhindered in our life. We lay aside all those things and we embrace you, Lord. We give you glory and honor tonight in Jesus' name. Here in just a minute when we dismiss, if you'd like to, maybe you've never met Jesus as your Lord and Savior before. You need prayer for some. You want someone to agree with you in prayer. Our prayer teams are up here. Ladies on my right, your left. The men on my left and your right. Feel free to come after as soon as we've dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you glory and honor in this place. Hallelujah. We're going to ask our connection team to go just very reverently and quietly because it is very important that we honor and bless our first-time guests here tonight. So if you go find those first-time guests and take them and give them that special gift prepared on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't forget to hear, I imagine, soon service over. You can tune into Facebook Live and check out the service up in the Littleton, Colorado. Is that right? Up in, huh? Longmont. Started with an L, I think. Longmont, Colorado. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are there. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See our connections team moving with them. Let's let them get moved. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to lift it one more time? Just lift your hands up and lift your voice up to the Lord. Tell him you love him. We love you tonight, Lord. You're so good to us. You're so good. We give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise in this place. Hallelujah. Remember, if you need prayer, come on down here. Men with the men, ladies with the ladies. Turn and tell somebody, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you can be dismissed. Amen.